Hey, Peter Howard here from the Dynasty Crossroads podcast that I host. I guess that's why I'm doing the promo. People that listen to Dynasty Crossroads show are just, they're just cooler, okay? They just are.
Yeah. Chicken or crow, crossing the... Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky,
other names. Trade Addicts Pod, let's go.
Are we live? I think we're live. My internet was being not cool before, but hey, I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a co-host problem because Rocky knew that it was 9:30 and that we were going live, and he's not here. But you know what I don't have? I don't have network brother problems because I got my brothers from another show, Josh and Bill, the fantasy timeline here with me, even though I purposely take out the word "the" whenever I post it to the DAP network and I just leave it as fantasy timeline because, I don't know, it just sounds cooler that way. It's like, you know, easier. You drop the from Facebook, right? But, oh man, yay, fun start. Okay, well, hey everybody and welcome to, oh crap, where's my session 163 of the Trade Addicts podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. Also, as we aforementioned, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts podcast network, the DAP network, if you will. And you're damn well sure we're going to tonight. I'm even repping the shirt today. And since this is live to the public, everyone can see this. It's not just like I don't have to start pimping out Patreon right now. You could just do this.
Hey, Russ, I like this one right here from Ryan.
Oh,
too,
yeah.
Too busy typing my trades into the show sheet.
No, we had another slow week. Clearly, this is a very slow time of the year. Nice of you to show up, Rocky. But the good thing about the Trade Addicts leagues are they take the call to arms very seriously. Rocky and I went into all of our chats. We're like, we got three trades. Get on this. And it, like, to Ryan's credit, he went nuts. I think he probably pulled off like four or five. You know, I got a couple in. Rocky rejected one or two of my offers as usual, just for the hell of it. I don't even think he looks at them. He was like, oh, it's from Russ. No, it probably wasn't a very good offer. I to this day, I will never stop trying to get him to overpay for Deontay Johnson. It's just what I'm going to keep doing.
Every trade he ever sends me involves Deontay Johnson, Adam Thielen, or Leo Jones.
It's all I got. I don't know what to tell you. It's the only guys I feel okay giving up. But yes, absolutely. But Rocky is now here. He did actually do great co-host duties in typing one or two trades on the sheet after they happened and before I did it. So I take back most of the mean things I said about you before you signed on because you were actually helping us out.
Okay.
Whew. But before we keep going, it's been forever since you two have been on here. So Josh, Bill, say hi. Remind everyone how damn good your show is and just say a little bit about how awesome it is also.
So I'm Josh at Real Fantasy TL. I'm with my man below me, Bill at Super Duper Flex. We do the fantasy timeline live every Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's just a good time. We scan Twitter. We take your stuff. We answer questions. We will have awesome guests like Russ, like Rocky, like a lot of other members of the DAP network and from just around the Twitter sphere. So if you're not doing anything on a Wednesday night, come check us out right here where you're looking at the Trade Addicts. You can see us here too. I think that's it.
Nothing, Bill? Okay, cool. Also, shout out to at Matty Big Chest for the baller background that is now part of the fantasy timeline
yeah, it's
streaming
amazing
experience.
Maddie, those things are awesome. We have had a good time in the couple weeks that we've had them. Appreciate you. And I have to reach out personally and shout you a thank you because them things are awesome. I love them.
And I also surprised it with them too. Like it was, it was really funny. Like I was being nonchalant. I'm like, hey, you guys got a guest this week? And they're like, no, why? You want to come on? I'm like, no, dude, sorry, I can't. And then I snuck in the two because he made one for two, one for three. So I snuck it in without them knowing. And I felt pretty smooth about that. And they like right away, Josh gives like throws in the Depp Network. Yo, that background. And I'm like, yeah, man.
Yeah, I got to get him to do one for Junkies now that we're starting to go live. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Junkies are, you know, they went, what, this was your first week or was it last week? I can't remember anymore.
Yeah, last Wednesday was Thursday was the first time, yeah.
So, but here, everyone watching, everyone listening, well, no, not listening, but if you're watching right now or you're watching this later, if watching is the main part, that means you're already on the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network's YouTube. Finish this because our show is awesome and I don't want you to leave me. It would hurt my feelings. But as soon as it's done, just go click on the Junkie Show and watch that live. I mean, I don't know what could be better. You know what can be better? Going right to last week's fantasy timeline, right when you're done with that. You got like 3 or 4 hours on your hands with nothing better to do, right? I mean, I know I have nothing going on in my life. Yes, we're going to go past Joe's horrible. Yes, he did not say my man blow me. He said, below.
He said below me.
Below me. We're going to move off of that one right now, just like Bill just got off Josh. And we're going to talk about Julio Jones getting traded to the Titans. See, I go live and I get all giggly and say stuff I wouldn't when I have to edit. Because I'm not going to edit this. They're going to get the live experience when they listen. Hopefully I don't start cursing too much because I am tired.
You act like that's different than any other week, though.
Yeah, but no, like if curses happen, they're staying. I'm just not going to do it because I don't care right now. Okay, but no, seriously though, let's talk about Julio Jones to the Titans because that's fun. I have to be like words breathe. AJ Brown is awesome. That's really what I was trying to figure out how to say. Like his social media presence in the past like 2 weeks has been so damn good that I just straight up love this guy now. And you'll see, I think I have one or two trades for him on this show. Actually, no, I think it's only one because one was a different, not a trade addicts league. But yes, I went out in almost every league where I could afford him pretty much because he's not cheap to go trade for.
That's who he tried to get off me with Deontay Johnson Plus.
Wait, hold on. Okay, no, let's talk. It was, what was it? It was Deontay Johnson.
Tyler Boyd. And another receiver I can't remember right now.
Sounds great, right? Like you would totally accept that just for AJ Brown. I don't remember. It probably wasn't great. I when I spam offers, it usually ends up being a lot of them not being great because I'm just like in a rush to go through all of them. But okay, so no, but seriously, stop it. I want to talk about Julio Jones to the Titans, even though I was the one that just started that tangent, but that's besides the point. I want to talk about this. I want to start talking about this and in terms of Ryan Tannehill. Because I've been having this conversation with a couple of different trade negotiations, a couple of different chats. In Superflex leagues, hold on, I pulled up ADP. I need to pull this up because it helps my argument. Ryan Tannehill is QB 13 in Superflex ADP for May, because June is still going on right now. So this is clearly before the trade. I have to be honest, I had him higher than that already because, first of all, I'm just not as high on Russell Wilson as the rest of the world is just because I've seen it. You know, I've lived it and all of that fun stuff. But, I mean, it's like the Adam Gase effect. It's, you know, once the disrespect wasn't there in the beginning, it's never going to show up. It's Doug Baldwin, Adam Thielen, all of these late round guys that Chris Carson, anyone else on the Seahawks that isn't DK Metcalf, let's just put it out there. You know, it's tough to get the respect on his name when he started out so blah. But, and while I don't have numbers in front of me, and I probably should have actually done a little bit of research, like he was what, top 8 last year?
Yeah. Trade addict scoring, he was 11th points per game.
Oh, that doesn't count because Dak was like first, you know, even though he only played 4.5 games because he averaged like 40 points a game. And that doesn't help my argument. So I'm pushing it back.
But he is 8th overall. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so he was QB 8 and did really freaking well on a pass first, no, run first team. Like, and now getting Julio Jones increases his value, clearly. So let's, no, it's screw it. We're just going to play this game. We're going to start at Ryan Tannehill. If you're in a startup, do you take Ryan Tannehill or Aaron Rodgers? Just scream out an answer.
Rodgers.
That's tough.
I'm taking Tannehill.
I think Tannehill too, but that's
I'm an close. Ageist.
I'm taking Tannehill too because, yeah, age and, and you know, security. I almost said age, sex, location, like we're back in AOL chat rooms.
Ironically, not. I'm the only one Hoog will be happy with.
That's fine.
So, okay. So, Ryan Tannehill or Justin Fields?
Justin Fields.
Fields.
Trey Lance?
Tannehill.
Tannehill.
Trey Lance is ahead of Justin Fields, which is weird. Russell Wilson.
Tannehill.
Yeah, I think Tannehill. Bill has not like said anything like the last three quarterbacks.
I'm letting
I just woke up from a nap. I'm sorry. My brain's running slowly.
He's Russell still Wilson's on like three quarterbacks. 32. Ago.
How is that possible? I feel like Russell Wilson's like 37.
You know what I was thinking, though, and you're not going to say this guy, and of course this is going to come from me, but what is the big difference between Cousins and Tannehill at this point? He's got slightly upside? More rushing ability. Yeah, he but I mean, he's not. You know, Justin Fields or Trey Lance rushing the ball.
But the problem is we talk about Kirk Cousins like he's trash. And like exactly. Kirk Cousins is just the most underrated quarterback every year, whether it's dynasty or redraft, it doesn't matter. We talk about Kirk Cousins like he's Andy Dalton. And I'm not talking about like 10 years ago Andy Dalton. I'm talking about like today Andy Dalton. And he's not. He's a good quarterback. And this is kind of one of the main points to Rocky's quarterback startup strategy is like, just get Kirk Cousins. Like he's going to be what top 15 every year. Cool.
If you had to guess what his QB ranking was in May ADP in Superflex, what would you guess?
I actually know, so I'm not going to guess.
Kirk Cousins, I'd say
16th,
18th.
22.
Yep.
Oh my God. That's ridiculous.
Cause like here, think about this. What was Kirk Cousins' value before last 2 years ago? And then what happens when they got Justin Jefferson? Assuming you were one of those people that believed Justin Jefferson was more than just a slot receiver, let's put it that way. Because, you know, yes, because people who actually like Justin Jefferson realize that that is a very step up in the pass game, especially because Stephon Diggs wasn't even really trying at the end. Let's call it what it is. So he should, you know, last year coming into the season, Cousins should have been pushed up. This year, it's ridiculous that he's that low. I'm asking for that at least same consideration from Ryan Tannehill. But honestly, he's produced more. I think Tannehill has outscored Cousins at least in the past maybe year and a half.
Oh yeah,
when Tannehill was actually the starter. Yeah. So but yes, you're absolutely right because you know I know Kirk Cousins is your guy, and I'll still always be proud of that. Like, oh, it's Cousins time. and
even though I traded him this.
Yeah, but we'll get there. So my question for you is: I've been going about this all roundabout. Do we actually like, am I right in my line of thinking? Clearly, in my mind, Ryan Tannehill is worth more today than he was 3 days ago. Like, or do we agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah. I just think that it shows that they're planning on throwing the ball more. So that alone makes me, you know, happier. Not only that, but adding in the efficiency of having two fantastic receivers. So it's almost like a double bonus.
You mean three because Anthony Firkser was there already.
True.
Is there anybody, I was looking at this, is there anybody you don't think this is a plus for other than Josh Reynolds and Anthony Firkser?
Like, I'm maybe still fine with Firkser, I'll be honest.
I don't think it hurts Firkser. I've seen a lot of people think it does, Josh Reynolds. But
yeah.
I don't think it affects him as much as some people do.
I'm sorry, you can go, Russ.
I guess it also depends what you were expecting out of Firkser. If you were expecting all of a sudden him becoming a top five tight end just because, I guess he was the only other guy there after AJ Brown, then yeah, this does hurt him. If you were happy that you had him at the bottom of your roster, and now you'll have a guy that you can plug in every once in a while and probably get like 10 to 12 points, then he's fine, because that's exactly what he's still going to be, you know, especially when you're playing in a premium, which you should be. Otherwise, there's only three startable tight ends anyway.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I've heard people say it's a slight downtick for Julio. I don't agree with that at all. I'm just curious if you guys think so.
For Julio?
Yeah.
Honestly, probably only because of volume.
Yeah.
That's what was so great about Atlanta. They're throwing the ball 40 times every single game.
And I get that. I just think that the volume is going to be – what volume there is going to be so concentrated through those two, is that I think it's going to be almost a wash. And plus, I think Bell's right, too, that by them doing this, it shows they want to pass the ball more, too.
Well, they do have a new OC, so we honestly don't know what this offense is like. It wouldn't be great if, like, all of a sudden Derrick Henry gets benched and they just use, like, McNichols and Darrington Evans, like, out of shotgun the entire game.
Brian Hill.
Oh, that's right. They got Brian Hill. That's the other guy I was trying to think of. Like, they have a just like a store of unused running backs that is just so good. But yeah, so like, I really think is like, I think this is good. Like we were just saying, I think this is good for pretty much everyone. And like Rocky was saying, the efficiency will raise for Julio. That's his name, because of what that offense is. And let's face it, Atlanta was passing 40 times a game, but also the defense knew Atlanta was passing 40 times a game. Like, you have to respect the hell out of Derrick Henry running the ball, because like, you can't have two linebackers on the field when Derrick Henry's on the field. You need a lot of very large gentlemen to try and tackle him. So that's so yes, I think this is plus for everyone on Tennessee. And I really just wanted to say out loud my like of Tannehill in the first place, and the fact that I think he's worth more now, because a couple of the negotiations I've been through seems like people are not with me. And if you're not with me, you're wrong. Look at the serious face I'm giving it to the camera right now. Hey, bless this is my serious face.
Bless those people. If they want to have Ryan Tannehill lower, that's fine. Let's scoop them up.
Yeah, I might have to go start trading for him. Okay, so let's go to the other side now. Unless, does anyone have any more Titan stuff to talk about before we get to the Falcons?
Get all the Titans. That's it.
Remember the Titans.
I mean, I don't think that it's like that much of a bump for Tannehill personally. I mean, it's a little bit of a bump, but he's still kind of in the same tier for me. So I'm not like going out of my way to acquire him, really, just because of this move. But because I don't think it's going to be that vast of a difference. But yeah, that's all I got to say.
Crazy stuff going on upstairs. No, you're right. See, the thing is, I love Corey Davis. I have no choice but to love Corey Davis with the amount of 101s I've spent on him. Julio Jones is better. And yes, I am wearing the shirt from the band I'm going to see. And it was complete and utter coincidence. I literally just take the t-shirt that's on the top of the pile, and this was the one that was there. But yeah, Julio Jones is better than Corey Davis. So I think it does help Tannehill with efficiency. I think it helps AJ Brown because people respect Julio more. I think it helped Derrick Henry because they respect Julio more. So I do think it's good for everyone involved. But let's move over to the Falcons and let's just talk about how Calvin Ridley is the wide receiver one in Dynasty, right?
I saw PFF just upgraded their, and I was like, I immediately thought of Russ. Like, now it's like 1,560 yards for Ridley is their projection.
Yeah, they had him leading the league. Yeah. I did giggle about that because even I don't really have the boldness to say that. I want it to be true, but I mean, is it going to be true?
Is it that out of reach, though? I mean, really?
No. Here's the thing. Like, what I'm looking forward to and what I hope happens is these people that are going to say, he's the next like Juju or something where he needed Antonio Brown on the other side.
And he already showed that last year. The splits without Julio were better. 2 years ago, I think they were better with Julio in, but last year they were better without Julio.
Yeah, but these people don't look at numbers anyway, right? Like, you know, that's why they have that argument. So if you're in a league with me and you feel like Ridley is screwed now that Julio's gone, send me that offer, baby. Send me that offer. I'll take it up. Okay, but clearly, Ridley. Okay, like, does this change how you feel about Kyle Pitts. Let's talk about the diamond in the room behind us, because you can't even call it a gorilla in the room because it's bigger than that. It's a nice, giant, shiny gem that you don't even really have room to stand because you'll get cut on the diamond that's behind you. Like, that's Kyle Pitts' value before the Julio Jones news. Does this actually affect anything, or was this kind of baked in anyway that we just sort of saw this happening?
Yeah, I think it was baked in. I mean, we've been assuming that this Julio deal, we were actually shocked when it didn't happen on June 1st. We thought as soon as June 1st hit, Julio was traded. He was going to be out of there. There was the whole, you know, Shannon Sharp thing where, you know, he was on air talking about he's out of there. And, you know, so, you know.
And he badmouthed your Cowboys.
That's fine. He would have been wide receiver 4 there anyway. So,
I mean, you may not be wrong, but damn.
but yeah, I think if you are at least doing a little bit of research, you kind of had that baked in already that Julio was going to be on his way out at some point, and mm-hmm. Kyle Pitts is going to, you know, slip into that role. And I mean, I don't want to say it like that because he's not going to be, you know, he's not going to be Julio year 1, but Calvin Ridley's going to be that dude. And then I think Kyle Pitts is going to feast. And I think that was baked in already.
I think it was half baked in because, like, let's not give the Dynasty and universe that much credit that they're not going to overreact to news.
We love to double count things.
Double count,
so,
yeah.
Exactly. So that's why, like, regardless, emotion is part of this, right? And the excitement of this, you even get more excited even though you expected it. So I agree rationally that it is baked in a lot, but I think that at least, you know, short term, there is a ridiculous bump in his value.
I agree with Bill, and I do. I tweeted about this, I think it was today too, that this ridiculous notion even before the trade that you were going to trade for Kyle Pitts next year because all tight ends, you get a discount after year 1. I can guarantee you that's like, he's like a lock for, unless he's just like the biggest bust of all time, like a lock for some really good rookie tight end numbers. Like, even if it's just like let's say 6,708 or something like that.
Oh my God, he's tight end 1 if he puts that up.
Yes, if he does that, exactly. which isn't going to make him tight end 1 production wise, but no. Just because he did that as a rookie, yes, he'll be through the roof. I mean, good luck trading for Kyle Pitts at any point in any time over the next year.
You know what that really means? That really means Hockenson should be tight end 1 right now.
I don't think he should be tight end 1, but I love me some Hock.
I know, and we'll. Oh, I think you talked about that trade last week, right? Was it Mixon for Hock?
Yes.
Last week?
I see Hock, jumping into that Kittle Waller tier this year. Yeah. So
me too. That's also why I went and traded for him in as many leagues as I possibly could last week. But also, I just loved the chain of events that you traded me Mixon. I traded Mixon for Hock. And you're like, oh, I would have much rather done that. Yeah.
I was one of those two where I sent it to you just because I was bored and
even worse.
And I got Deontay, but yep. I did not get
there you
Hock.
Go. Yet you didn't send me Deontay for Hockenson.
Okay, I'll do that right now.
Well, not straight up. Come on. All right, is there any part of this Julio to the Titans thing that we haven't talked about? Actually, real quick, Matt Ryan. What does this do anything to Matt Ryan? Like, this is the one thing I've been trying to figure out. I have a few teams where Matt Ryan was my QB2 just because he's Matt Ryan and we knew he was going to throw the ball 40 times, which I think I've said 18 times on this 22 minutes of a podcast already. Does this actually hurt him, or does this help him? Does this stay the same? Like, what does this do to Matt Ryan?
I don't think it can help. I'm not sure. I don't consider it a big downtick to Ryan. I mean, he's QB 20 something probably himself at this point. So I don't think it hurts him that much value wise, production wise, maybe a little bit. But I mean, if Pitts is what we all think he is, I think you're probably going to see something similar to last year. I think he can. He can do well year 1. Russell Gage is, a decent. He produced pretty well without Julio. I can't remember what the stat was, but there was something Sleeper put out today where His numbers after the bye were ridiculous, like if you pace them out. So I think he'll still be pretty decent. I think he'll probably be about a wash with the addition of Pitts. So that's where I'm at with Ryan.
Yeah, and I was going to bring up, is Rocky talking into R2-D2?
That's hilarious.
Everybody loves to make fun of my microphone. Matt Price calls it the sniper mic.
Well, you have that little red dot at your chin, yes, which is exactly terrifying. Okay, so if anyone else has any Matt Ryan thoughts, and also, are you sending a second for Russell Gage right now?
I think you're probably having to pay that. I'm not sold that he's going to end up being the guy who plays outside. I mean, because couldn't Zaccheaus end up being that guy, or Zaccheaus or whatever? Like, he did really well when he was put out there. So, like, I think Gage is more of a slot guy.
Need that, to be fair. I know that they're going to be putting Pitts in the slot. It's not like he's going to be in line all that much, but they still will probably put a third wide receiver on the field, in which case you're going to have Ridley Gage and Olamides. Is that his last name?
Is his last name.
Oh, yeah. Commas and things, and I... my brain.
Yes.
One of those guys who's great for the name game.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I like having him on the Gage on the team, like my teams, but I'm not sure I'm going out of my way to add more of him. I'm not sure who the guy's going to be.
Selling him for a second?
No, it's kind of a hold for me. I think
I'd sell him for a second.
He got like 180 points last year just being.
But here's the thing. Russell Gage is a Jag, and we're going to see a lot of cuts because this salary cap is still super low once we get through training camp and whatever preseason is actually going to be. We're going to see a lot of guys that maybe we weren't expecting getting cut. And I know Atlanta has like severe cap issues, but they somehow always make these deals work. I wouldn't be surprised to see them upgrade that.
I was going to put that up there. I'm the host. I put stuff up. No, but Michael Bauer brings up a great point. Like, we've completely written Hayden Hurst out of the NFL. Do you think that it's more likely that they play two tight ends because Arthur Smith is there now and he is a little basic when it comes to offense? So is there a chance that they end up with two tight ends, especially because their offensive line isn't necessarily great? Not that they have a running back to block for, but also they don't want Matt Ryan to die. So also Hayden Hurst, are you doing anything about Hayden at this point?
He's the guy I would rather add than Gage, I think. Like, just because I feel like he absolutely is the guy who's flying under the radar. You know, everybody's kind of excited about everybody getting that opportunity, but everybody, you know, because Pitts, everybody loves him so much. Like, he's been erased, deleted from people's brains. And so he's totally, absolutely the right guy to go after, in my opinion.
I was just looking. I mean, he was tight end 14 last year in trade addict scoring with no Julio for half the season, with no Pitts. I'm not really interested in acquiring. I guess you might get a little something out of them. I just don't. I mean, I guess if you're giving up a third or fourth, what's the difference? But I wouldn't expect very much at all. If he hits tight end 14 again, I'd be shocked.
I think Bill nailed it. I would rather pay for Hurst at his price than Gage at his price. I mean, if I have to,
that's not the game, Rocky.
You're saving your third for a quarterback.
Exactly. Even my third for Ryan Fitzpatrick.
But yeah, I mean, if I have to take one of those two guys, I'd rather get Hurst at his value. I mean, personally.
And keep in mind that a lot of tight ends, and this is very common when they move teams, it's always like you're seeing them to do worse than the year before they change teams. So, you know, maybe hit. Granted, he's going to be in a different offensive system this year, so who knows how that affects him. But, you know, just getting comfortable with the players on the team, I mean, maybe that benefits him as well.
Also, while you clearly can't create any real parallels between the two, because they're different human beings and now it's a different system. But also Austin Hooper, it took 2-3 years for him to really work his way into the system. Every year he got more and more targets, more and more receptions, and then got traded or signed somewhere else. But that's not really the point. So maybe, you know, Hurst does get better. Yeah, Hunter Hurst is not worth it. Hayden Hurst. I always say his name wrong. Hayden Hurst isn't really worth talking about. So we're going to move on. You know what? We actually only have one listener question at this point, and it was given to us like 5 days ago from FF Trader Joe in the Cool Kids Club, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You get this experience every week. Every week you get to watch us do this. You get to talk as much as Mike Bauer and Joe are, and like they're pretty much part of the show at this point. You know, you get to be in here, plus you get the Cool Kids Club, the awesome, awesome group me chat that all four of us are in on, and awesome stuff is talked about all day. And usually I just post pictures of my dog because I don't have a lot to say during the day. But also in that chat, Joe asked the question about startup drafts and future picks in this year right now. And if you're in the middle of a startup, what is your limit when it comes to either trading out of the startup for a 22 first or trading in to the startup for a 22 first? Does anybody have any strong opinions right now before I pull up ADP?
I generally don't like to trade out of the startup for a 22 first period. I was looking at it. I was looking at ADP while you were talking, and looks to me maybe around the ninth round is the only time I'd probably start feeling comfortable about doing that. In the after, you know, 96, which is 8 rounds, then you start getting into Mike Davis, Cooper Kupp, Adam Thielen, Trey Sermon. I would guess I would trade out for a first, but generally in a startup, especially, a lot of people will just trade down rounds for a first. I would much rather do that than trade a pick straight up for a first.
That's not the question, Rocky.
But that's what happens in actual startups.
No, but I mean, I am usually on the opposite side of this. I love using my first to try and get an extra pick, and not just by moving back or using it to move up. I love always trying to every freaking pick. I usually start in the fifth, which is horribly unrealistic. But like every other pick is just like, you want my first? You want my first? You want my first? And you know, sooner or later people just get annoyed with me and they just take it. But last year, it was actually clearly it was earlier because the 21 picks are worth more than what the 22 are right now. But Ryan in the chat says the 708 for him. Yeah, and
he has an exact spot.
I know. And I wish this ADP was marked down like that. But it's not. So what, like pick 84 is around the seven. So like Sam Darnold, Derek Carr, Juju. Man, Juju's 86th. Juju's wide receiver 28. We're going to have to talk about that. But this is a little.
I was just going to say, I think pick 80 would be 708 if I'm figuring out the math right.
Oh, yeah. So
that is Robert Woods.
That's
with Deontay Johnson right below him.
Yeah, this order. I am not a fan of this ADP right now. I'm glad I'm in the mocks right now to try and fix this atrocity. But okay, I mean, let's go down a little further, because let's face it. Like, I think we're already at the point of saying that we wouldn't send a first. We wouldn't accept a first for these guys. Chase Edmonds is probably like where pick 88 or 89.5 if you want to go for real numbers. Of Chase Edmonds, Jameis Winston, Jared Goff, Jerry Jeudy. That's out of place. He should be higher. Yeah. Jalen Waddle. So that's pretty much. Would you give up the 112 for a random 22 first? Dallas Goedert, James Robinson, Leonard Fournette, DJ Chark. Like, these are guys that are worth a round of future first. So I think that's, you know, going to be my final answer. That if I'm trading out of a startup draft, which I'm with Rocky, it's not something I would ever really do, but it's going to be in this area. It's going to be around that pick, around 8-ish, where you get to these guys where there's a chance, you know, Leonard Fournette or Mike Davis, you know, all these guys, Odell Beckham, Melvin Gordon, there's a chance they don't really even see your lineup. So, you know, maybe you just go and be like, nah, I'll get better guys, younger guys later. So maybe I'll just take the first. Like, that's my area. When it comes to buying, of course, I want to do it earlier because I want to get a better pick that I'm willing to sell it for. But again, I think that's the reasonable expectations for in and out of the startup draft.
Yeah, I think you guys nailed it there. That kind of group of guys there, you know, is probably, and even then I'm kind of, you know, with Rocky, where you're including it in a package to, you know, to move up, you know, a couple rounds or whatever is more likely than just kind of giving your random first in that, you know, or getting a random first in that Chase Edmonds territory.
What do you keep disappearing for? You're not me. Stop it. Stop it, Bill. You're not me. Well, that was our only listener question, so we're just going to move on from that. And Bill's upsetting me on purpose, and I don't appreciate it. Oh, I just saw the bottom of the show sheet. Rocky has his little notes for how to end the show.
Last week, yep. I didn't want to screw it up, and I think I may still have. I don't remember, but...
I don't listen to the show when I'm not here. What am I gonna, what's the point of that? It makes me so sad.
Did it perfectly, Russ.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's funny. I think it was Kane that put the question out on Twitter today. Like, how many podcasts do you listen to? And it made me sad to type. It used to be like 20 plus a week. And now it's like two, if I'm lucky. Not. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't want to go back to the office ever. Again, like, I'm literally fighting with my job to let me work from home. It's working so far. It's not going to work forever, but
I have to go back next Monday.
My podcast listening killed.
Yeah, they're phasing us back in. I go one day a week starting in July. Then I think it's two in August, three in September.
Lucky.
I'm in October. Yeah.
My wife is starting one day a week in August also, after the kids end camp. Ugh, damn world and going back to normal too much. But let's get to Trade Addicts trades. Trade Addicts leagues are 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 points for tight end receptions and 0.05 points for tight end for return yardage. Damn it, I almost had it right, because we don't have any TA1 trades because everyone kept rejecting my not great offers.
Mine too.
Yeah, weird, right? Like, come on.
I rejected a horrible one today.
Was it for me? It might have been.
No.
It was from somebody in Trade Addicts 3.
Well, yes.
Probably Dustin.
Yeah. It probably was Dustin.
I nailed it.
I'm like, I don't even know how to, like, even in the comments, I'm like, I'm not even sure how I'm supposed to respond to this.
I know he sent me one today where the, like, best player in the trade was Ramondre Stevenson. I was like,
yep.
Bill sent me the trade in DM, and my response was, I have never seen a crap salad like this before.
You've seen a crap salad before?
Not like that one. Not like that one.
Good answer.
I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast.
Pieces of shit for breakfast?
No. Oh, movie references and people that understand them. I love you guys. Oh, and also, just to make fun of other people that sent us offers, Jerry O'Shea, the beautiful, wonderful man who runs the Trade Addicts podcast Twitter account, sent me an offer of, like, a future first for T. Higgins. And I literally just went, like, come on, bro. And he's like, what, man? They got Boyd and Chase there now. T is dead. No, I didn't even reply. Like,
I love Jerry. I co-owned a team with him, but he can definitely send some low ball offers on an outhouse level.
Oh no! I'm sorry. That's terrible.
Actually, Russ, I was going to reach out to you today and see if you could have done me a favor. I just got busy at work. Jerry in the TA2 chat was like, "Hey, I'm looking to trade Drew Lock," and I was going to say, "Russ, can you just give me like a sixth round pick real quick so I can send it to Jerry for Drew Lock?"
I hear he's already started off on fire. A couple picks during practice today.
Right,
Mahomes was throwing picks in practice before his first starting season.
Are you saying that Drew Lock is Patrick Mahomes?
I just heard that.
That's what I just said, isn't it?
I mean, that's how this works, right?
I think so. I don't know. I've never done this before. Okay, so trades. This is Trade Addicts 3. Let's talk about... Why are we talking about this? But we're going to do it anyway because I already started talking about it. A 22 second, fourth, and fifth, plus a 23 first for Cooper Kupp and a 23 second. Whew. Okay, so let's take the fourth and fifth out of there. This is a 22 second and 23 first for Cooper Kupp and a 23 second. Is Cooper Kupp dead? Let me ask that question.
No.
He shouldn't be.
No.
No, I mean, I think that everybody's just kind of like, you know, there's so many wide receivers that I think he just kind of gets lost in the mix now, and nobody knows what to do with him.
honestly, that's why I traded him away. I don't remember who it was to. I don't remember who this trade was involving, but I traded Cooper Kupp to whoever just traded him away. And I think, honestly, I may, in my trade, I probably valued him at a second. And because honestly, that's all you can get for him right now. And the reason I did it was because I just wanted to get my team younger. I can't remember the trade I did whatsoever, but like honestly, I just wanted to cup off my team and for no real reason. Again, do as I say, not as I do, because I do not manage my teams well.
How many catches do you think Cooper Kupp had last year?
80 or 90?
Six.
Yeah, 92 for almost 1,000 yards. The big difference between that and the year before, he was down a bit in yards, but he had 10 touchdowns. Yeah, and he only had three last year. I think that's going to be a big difference with Stafford there.
I mean, I think the offense is going to be so different that people don't know what to expect, and I think that is what has killed a lot of the wide receivers, their prices. I am going and buying up all the Bobby Woods and Van Jefferson I can just because I like those two guys. It's pretty much a pick a guy and go buy him because no one has a real answer. And I think Cooper Kupp has found his way to the bottom of the totem pole at this point. And that's what this trade kind of shows to me, that there just wasn't much value in Cooper Kupp. So you might as well add stuff to get a future first for him.
But it's kind of amazing the difference time makes when a trade's involved. Like we knew about Stafford going to LA in like February, and so much other stuff has happened, but if the same trade was made today, the hype train on Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp would be through the roof. We'd be like, oh, Stafford is there now. But since so many other things have happened to just change the landscape, we're like, we've just got fatigued because we talked about this in February and March. We're in June now, and we're like, now we're like, Julio and AJ Brown and someone else is going to get cut and sign somewhere else. And that guy's going to be awesome. And, James Robinson, boo, there's just been 100 other things that have happened. And, I think that offense is going to be crazy. I mean, look at what McVay did with Goff. And there's not an argument about the talent difference between Goff and Stafford. So, I'll take whoever I can get from the Rams if people are willing to sell.
There's a really big smile on Bill's face for his ex-quarterback. And he's muted.
You're muted.
Good, because there was expletives about Goff being a lion instead of Stafford. But there is a huge difference. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. I mean, the positive is Stafford doesn't have to look over to the sideline to get his calls, so... that's pretty major for a NFL quarterback.
All right, so we're going to move on from this dislike of the moves his NFL team has made. And I feel like Ryan would never forgive me if I didn't bring up this trade. In TA9, we did Tevin Coleman for Tylan Wallace.
All right, we're talking about that trade. Let's move on.
In-depth analysis, please, fellas. And like literally he sent me this. I had Tevin Coleman and I literally just went like, oh, I have that guy, all right, whatever, okay, accept. Literally didn't think about it at all and just hit accept. That's sure, why not? I don't know. I love Tevin Coleman. Is he gonna be a thing? Probably not. Is Tylan Wallace gonna be a thing? He has more of a chance than Tevin Coleman does, I think. Maybe.
I don't think so.
I don't know. Whatever. So I literally just said,
not enough of a difference to matter.
Exactly.
Two guys who are going to score 50 points this year.
Yes. But mine is younger.
That's all that matters.
You get to keep him on your roster for 5 years. Wondering when he's going to hit.
He's going to clog my roster for 5 years and not just two. Because Tevin Coleman's already been on my roster for 3 years.
That's awesome.
So there you go, Ryan. You're welcome.
Yes. You have to, you have to upgrade youth at your roster clogger position.
Speaking of, actually, this isn't even a roster clogger. Did someone just join? Someone joined. Hey, Justin.
Hi.
Where's the couch?
I'm out of pocket. I'm down in Naples, Florida. So I traded the couch for a lounge chair outside.
Look at you, man. Living the life. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
And you're just in time for a TA4 trade. That isn't ours yet. We have two 22 thirds for Raheem Mostert, and I have no idea who this is. Amir Smith Marset.
Yeah, fourth round rookie draft.
I had to write down wide receiver Minnesota because I've never heard that name before.
Yeah, he's gonna be awesome.
Sure. Okay, so I still wanted to keep this on here because is Trey Sermon like the thing now in all of our minds? Like, is everyone else who has done really well in the San Francisco backfield worthless?
Yes.
Trey Sermon has been an ongoing discussion between Bill and I on the timeline since
Bill loves
rookie
Trey
drafts
Sermon.
Have started.
Bill thinks he's going for 1,300 yards.
I think I actually heard Bill call him Barry Jr.
Barry Stevenson, the guy that runs the car wash down the street.
Oh, not that Barry. Barry.
Muted for this because we don't need that kind of. That's something for the hot sauce podcast. That's too spicy for Trade Addicts.
Yeah, I'll take the players that are actually on rosters over two random thirds.
All right, wait, hold on. We actually have a smart person in our comments. Michael Bauer says, Smith Marset is a baller. He will be a good third receiving option in Minnesota. Could smash if/when Thielen leaves. Never? Come on. He's never going anywhere. Okay, he's 31 with back issues. He's going somewhere soon. But yeah, it feels weird to not have heard of a dude before typing him on the show sheet. But that's where I am right now. But no, I really want to go back to Raheem Mostert is still the guy there for me, especially because he's not the same as Trey Sermon. Like, if you're going to create a 1-2 punch in that backfield, which we know Shanahan's don't really stick with one dude, it's going to be Mostert and Sermon anyway. So to get a guy who's going to probably be 40-50% of a Shanahan backfield for 2/3, no less, getting a flyer who was apparently a baller, I think that's kind of awesome.
Yeah, and I think Mostert's going to be the lead guy until he probably eventually gets hurt again and would gain 5 or something like that.
Yeah.
But I think it's definitely worth 2/3 just for Mostert, let alone the Vikings receiver. I mean, when he's healthy, he's probably going to be the lead guy. He showed last year and the year before, you know, what he can do. He can produce in that offense. And I just think it's, like you said, I think people are so overvaluing Sermon that it's like the rest of the guys don't matter.
Yep.
Yeah, and I was watching, you know, you can't get much from highlights, but I was watching highlights of Mostert that someone put on Twitter. That dude's speed looks so effortless. It's ridiculous. Like, he looks like he's jogging, but he's jogging 18 times faster than everyone else is running. Like, and it's just it's so weird that it just doesn't look like he's trying. Okay, so let's get to, you know, a trade of actual, you know, value. Sorry, fellas. Darren Waller and a 22 first for AJ Brown. Now, I already spoiler alerted which side of this is going to be mine. So let's go round robin. Justin, shut up because you don't get to talk about this one yet. Right. Josh, what do you think? Darren Waller and a first for AJ Brown. If you can't tell me yelling at him, it was me and Justin who did this trade.
I'm going AJ Brown. I mean, I love Darren Waller. You know, he's my tight end 3. First round pick is awesome, but AJ Brown is just like, I think next year we're going to be talking about AJ Brown as the wide receiver 1 in startups. So yeah, I'll take AJ Brown in that one.
Bill.
I mean, I think that's pretty fair. I like Waller in 1.75, you know, that's pretty, like, he is definitely that tight end, right? Cause he's totally getting, like, he's a target hog and that's what you want. So like that, like, I think it's a fair trade. I think if I don't have a tight end, like if Firkser is my guy, you know, like, I'm probably considering making a trade like that to add Waller if I'm, you know, close to contending. So I think it's fair. I don't necessarily think there's a one side's better than the other.
How about you, Rock?
I'm basically actually with both of them. I definitely was thinking the same thing that Bill said, that it's the value's about right. But I just, you know, with AJB being so young, I agree with Josh too. I think we're going to be talking about him as wide receiver one next year. He's almost there now. He's at, like, I was just looking, wide receiver five. And I love getting elite tight ends, but Darren Waller is going to be what, like 29 this year or the end of this year. So right. you get the first, so you get some kind of youth addition there as well. But I just, AJB's value is going to go through the roof, I think, this year. I know people are worried with Julio added there, as we were talking about earlier, as targets going down. I think he's just going to ball out third year. It's super efficient offense. I mean, who do they defend? So I got to lean to AJB, so just because of the value, and you're still going to get a bunch of points too. So I got to lean there.
Yeah, before I let Justin talk, I want to say two things. First of all, Justin's not going to care after Waller takes him to a championship this year, because you're right, that dude is going to score so many damn points. And two, that's the offer as I sent it, fellas. So we just spent so much time making fun of me for my terrible offers. an accept on a first offer. I just want to point that out.
I didn't feel like, you know, trying to squeeze a third out or something. I thought it was a fair offer. So
it
I
is.
Liked it. I liked it for both sides. I mean, honestly, I didn't want to give up A.J. Brown, but I've got – my wide receivers are deep. It's like – I mean, just off the top of my head, it's like Diggs and Godwin and two or three other guys. And I've made some moves. It's a win-now roster. Win.
And I can see that too, because what we were saying before too about how there's so many wide receivers, and your wide receivers in particular are deep, and there are not so many elite tight ends. I love getting one of those top three guys, and I, like I said, think it's going to be top four unless somebody else falls out with Hawk this year. So I can't fault you for doing that at all.
Irv Smith, nice. My best tight end. So
And resolved. You you both won.
Exactly.
No, I really thought this was a great trade, and it's one of those times where I'm like, oh, I kind of hope he takes this, because I really do think this is good for both of us. Because especially, and I think both Josh and Rocky, maybe all of you pointed out, I stopped listening to all of you at some point, where adding that first, which my team is terrible, so selling a first was a little,
it wasn't,
you know,
it wasn't
aggressive.
That's the one thing. It wasn't your first.
So. Oh, absolutely not. I will not be parting with my first, because there's a very good chance it's the 101. But it was the guy who won the past 2 years. But also, it really, I think that helped the trade, because especially when you're asking for someone to give up a 23-year-old stud wide receiver and you're offering a 28, 29-year-old, giving them that bit of youth, even though chances are, let's put it, Justin's probably not drafting with that pick. I mean, let's be honest. It's probably going to go somewhere to help him win this year. But still, it's just the idea of not aging someone's team. And it's all perception. It is all absolutely in our minds as we're just looking at a trade right offhand. But it matters. And I didn't want to part with a first, but I felt better knowing that at least it was the dude that won the past 2 years. So it's going to hopefully be pretty late. And all I knew was that it won't be earlier than mine.
It'll be the 111. So,
oh, when you win. True. Yes, right. Exactly. Yes, I was going to pick that next. Let's talk. let's interrupt our trade addicts trades for Michael Bowers, AJ Brown, or Justin Jefferson in a vacuum. I'll go first, and I'm going to say Justin Jefferson. I don't have a reason. I think mostly just because, man, he went nuts. Like, that was really, really, really good rookie year. And there's no reason for him not to at least do the same thing. It's Thielen or Kyle Rudolph weren't magically stealing coverage away. Like, the only thing that could really hurt Justin Jefferson is if Dalvin Cook goes away. Like, to me, otherwise, he's completely fine. So, what's with everyone jumping in and jumping out? At least he doesn't have my logo on there. but so to me, like that's the only reason I stick with Justin Jefferson. And also, AJ Brown has missed time and Jefferson hasn't, even though the years in the league are different. And while that really shouldn't matter, they're so close that I need something to grasp. I need a straw to grasp at. But that's really what it comes down to. If someone sent me the trade, like if I had one and someone sent me the trade for the other, my exact reply would be same tier, same position. I'm not going to bother doing it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what that comes down to. But Josh, who do you pick between the two?
It's AJ Brown for me. I mean, Justin Jefferson blew up last year. He was an animal. But there is a very small fear that we may have seen the best of Justin Jefferson year one. I mean, he had an insane season. And, you know, Adam Thielen, I think, is always going to be that guy for as long as he's there. And like you said, Russ, that might be – he might be gone next year. But that is going to steal touchdowns. And, you know, Kyle Rudolph isn't there anymore. But I'm thinking Irv Smith is going to be a red zone guy as well. So the touchdowns may not be there for him. And A.J. Brown, you're right, he's been hurt for a few games. But I think no matter who they bring there, he's always going to be – the first option everywhere on the field. So I would go with AJ Brown. But you're right. If someone sent me this trade offer, I would just say, why would I do this? And not because it's a bad trade, but I feel like I'm trading one guy for the same exact guy. And exactly. It just wouldn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. All right, Bill, you were clapping throughout every once in a while. So
I would probably take AJ Brown. And I think that's it's solely because, like, to me, he has that Juju rookie year likability. Like, I just like him. So,
yes,
like, if they're even, I'm just going to root. I'm going to take the guy I want to root for more. And I think that it's intangible, but it's something that, you know, it's more fun when you have players you really want to root for, even though I do like Justin Jefferson. Yeah. But I like A.J. Brown more.
And I'm on the A.J. Brown train, too. And like you, just trying to find some reason to pick one of them. And the fact that we've seen A.J. Brown do it basically 2 years to Justin Jefferson's one is a big difference to me. And as good as Justin Jefferson's year was last year, points per game, they're almost exactly the same. It's just that, like you said, A.J. Brown got hurt. So I lean A.J. Brown. But like you said, in an actual trade, I wouldn't want to trade one for the other, whichever one I had.
You know, Russ, I don't want you to be lonely out here, so I'm with you. the only thing about it is I don't know how confident I am that there's going to be the volume in Tennessee. I still think that the Vikings will have to pass. But I don't know that we're going to see 500-plus pass attempts out of Ryan Tannehill. And if not, adding Julio doesn't help that to me. So, I mean, what are you looking at, 130 targets, 125 targets?
Identity theft is a real issue, you guys. This isn't funny. You're all sons of bitches, all of you. Everyone, why are you all me? Stop. I don't do it. At least Justin doesn't do it.
I'm on my phone. I don't have all that fanciness.
I'll be honest with you. Like, it just happened. Like, I had a whole different logo there. And then when you were messing around with the art for Timeline, I think it changed it or something.
Sure. Blame me for it. Okay. So we're going to move on to a Trade Addicts 5 trade, which was Joe Mixon, Amari Rodgers, and a 22 first for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, DJ Chark, and Foster Moreau. Oh, man, remember Foster Moreau? He was going to be a thing. All right, so let's go the other way around. Justin, Joe Mixon, Amari Rodgers, 22 first for CEH, DJ Chark, and Foster Moreau.
Oh, this is the Mixon side for me pretty easily. I'm a notorious CEH hater, though. So from last year, even post NFL draft, just because I don't think that he's a very dynamic athlete. And I do like Mixon. Yeah, whatever. I don't think there's ever going to be the volume in Kansas City, especially in the pass game, because they just don't pass to the running back like people think they do or should. So, yeah, I'll take Mixon the first and Amari Rodgers.
I think I'm similar. I think I'm on the Mixon side, even though I'm kind of anti-Mixon. I would rather have the first because I know that I can do something with that, where the other, you know, everything else is difficult to move a little bit. So if it's like me buying into an asset that's more, you know, liquid, then I'm down for it.
You're muted, Josh. You got to talk. It's your turn.
I know. I don't like being on the Joe Mixon side of things, but I have to be on the Joe Mixon side of things, which is why I didn't want to talk. Yeah, as long as Mixon stays healthy, I think the goal in Cincinnati is to throw it 100 times a game. Joe Mixon is going to be a part of that. And Justin's right. We got all hyped last year after the draft because there was this, you know, this consensus that, you know, Kansas City just throws all the time to the running back. And if you look at Andy Reid's history, that's not really true. He's not, you know, he throws it some, but not as much. And then we just, you know, thought CEH was going to get, what, like 100 targets, which I don't know why people were saying that, but it was a thing. So, yeah, and then the first, you know, a first for Sharp, you know, whatever, man. I'll take that first all day. I mean, I think he'll be better this year, but I don't think he'll be worth a first.
Yeah, see, here's my thing, and here's, like, honestly, I'm okay with either side of this, though I do lean the mix inside just because it worries me that Kansas City keeps bringing in running backs or tries, like they tried to bring in Geo, who chose to go to Brady, but that's besides the point. But like they keep bringing in running backs and they keep bringing in pass catchers where that's supposed to be CEH. So that worries me a little bit. And I want DJ Chark to be a thing. You know, the camp reports are coming out that he is going to be a thing, but camp reports are camp reports. But to me, there's a better chance of CEH and Chark becoming much lower in value than Mixon getting lower, and that first can't get lower in value. I mean, let's just call that what it is. So to me, I think the price insulation and what it would take for CEH and Chark to move their value above those two pieces is less likely to happen than to me just be happy with Mixon in a first. Like, to me, it's too much of, like, I'm making myself dizzy trying to talk about this trade, that I would just be happy with a guy I think is the bell cow in a good offense and take a first round pick that I could move for Chark later if I felt like it. Okay, that's it. We're going to move on to the next trade as soon as I can find where my mouse is to go. There you go. We're going to drop to Trade Addicts 9, where we have a couple of trades. So let's start with the smaller ones because they're smaller. Rashad Bateman for Nyheim Hines and a 22 second. Is Rashad Bateman, who is being taken in the second now in Superflex drafts, is it worth it to go future second and Nyheim Hines? Is Nyheim Hines going to do close to what he did last year, or is it the Jonathan Taylor show? I get that this isn't that big of a trade, but I think the Colts backfield and the Ravens passing game are kind of decent topics to think about. Rocky, since you weren't here to talk about the last show, I'm not going to talk about where you went or anything, but
I clearly did not go to the bathroom.
No, definitely not. And I would never have brought it up if you did. So what do you think about this? Like, are you a Bateman guy, or are you off him since he's in the Ravens passing game and we know that they don't throw the ball a lot? Nyheim Hines, is he dead since Jonathan Taylor's the guy now?
I actually like Hines a little bit. I think I've mentioned that before. I think he is still going to be involved more than people would like with Jonathan Taylor. But to me, this is still easy Bateman. The ceiling is just too much on the Bateman side. Nyheim Hines is just a guy that you're going to occasionally put in your flex spot, and he's going to have some nice weeks for you. And the 22 second, I mean, everything you hear, the 22 class is not that great. So it's not, you know, that alone dings it a little. And I'm just pretty high on Bateman. I do think he's going to get a nice target share there. I'm hoping, like we said with Tennessee, that them drafting all these wide receivers kind of indicates that they're going to try and let Lamar pass it a little more. So I just think the talent there, you know, I don't want to fade Bateman like we faded A.J. Brown and stuff like that. So I have to take Bateman here over basically what it amounts to 2 seconds, even though he's going in the early second this year. There is, I think, about 14, 15 really good players in this draft. So I don't have a problem with them going in the second, but for example, from what we're hearing in the 22 draft, he might have been a first. So I'm fine with Bateman for those two pieces.
I just got to point out the Ravens can't throw less, right? Like I don't know if that's an NFL possibility.
Jeez.
Does anybody have any strong feelings on the other side of this that we need to keep talking about it?
No.
Nope. All right. Nice. The next smaller one was actually, I believe, done right after this trade, where it was Kareem Hunt for Nyheim Hines and Zach Moss. Now, I have actually, like, shed myself of a couple of Kareem Hunt shares, and it's not really on any real purpose. Like, it's not like I'm out to get rid of him in any way, shape, or form. He's just usually my easiest movable piece. I don't know if that's the words I tried to say, but that's what came out. But I still think I would take Kareem Hunt here over, you know, Nyheim Hines and Zach Moss, who are going to be situational at best. Like, Kareem Hunt, you know, Cleveland is going to run the ball a lot, and you know Kareem Hunt is going to get probably 30 to 40% of the carries, and not to mention 80% of the backfield receptions, or at least targets. Like, they really, for some reason, just don't want to throw the ball to Chubb, and it's infuriating. So I think I ride Hunt on this pretty easily, mostly also because the only guy, only running back in Buffalo worth owning is Josh Allen. So to me, Zach Moss, I get it. He's probably talented. He probably could be good on another team. But as long as Josh Allen steals every single goal line touchdown and first down run and 4-yard rushes when they need it, Singletary and Moss are kind of worthless to me. Anyone feel strongly about any side of this that we need to talk about it?
I don't, but I just wanted to mention, I don't know if I should be saying this or not, but I talked to the guy who made this trade, and he actually offered it with Sermon instead of Moss and got turned down, which I thought was very interesting.
Wow. Ooh, so Moss over Sermon is what Moss we're saying. Over
yes.
That's where we need to talk about.
I mean, I'm not really a Sermon fan. Yeah. Never really super have been. Like him a little more with the landing spot just because that's what Shanahan does. The family makes running backs do well. But man, to take Moss over Sermon, that's a little rough.
I think they listen to a particular podcast or follow a couple other people on the Twitter sphere for that one.
Yeah, we'll move on from that. All right, so let's talk about the two big boy trades we had. The aforementioned Trey Sermon. So Trey Sermon, Chris Godwin, and Blake Jarwin for Ezekiel Elliott. Tell me how great this trade is, guys.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I think I literally hear crickets in the background for a second, by the way. Thanks for that, Justin.
That's Justin. Yeah,
you're welcome for that.
Did you get Zeke?
I did get Zeke.
Then it's a great trade. I'm easily taking Zeke. I've been on Zeke before everybody else is starting to come on board the Zeke train. Early in the Josh was there too, but okay. I remember, you know, touting my love for picking up Zeke in this offseason and Russa and Hurley making fun of me on a previous pod. But
I just don't pay up for running backs unless I get bored. But that's really what my thing was. No, Zeke with Dak is freaking awesome. I get it. That's why I did it.
And I still think he's probably got a couple years of that left. At worst, he'll probably be what he was last year, which was like RB10 with massive upside
or something. Like, wasn't he like ridiculously high, even though he was terrible?
He was RB3.
He was definitely high.
Back injury.
Yeah. A lot of pass volume action there.
Yeah. Yes. Prior to the injury, he was still really good, but I think he ended up somewhere.
Was RB10? It just 10? Okay. Yeah. I thought it was higher than that. Yeah. So here's my thing. I honestly did this for no real reason whatsoever, is really what it comes down to. I think I read like a bad tweet about Chris Godwin. I'm like, all right, I'll trade away Chris Godwin. Share. Like, it's really, that's how bored and how fickle my brain is. Like, don't be me. Seriously, don't be me. I guess I was happy at the way this trade went. And I think the response was, you should just be lucky you sent this to a guy who values Godwin higher than probably anyone else in this league. I'm like, okay, cool. I'll take it. So here's my thing with this. We start 10 players. You only have to start one in every position. So let's say if I'm magically on a team where I'm only starting one player, is it going to be Zeke or is it going to be Chris Godwin? It's going to be Zeke. And especially since I'm me, I have a bunch more wide receivers I like anyway. I don't think Trey Sermon is going to be a guy I'm going to feel comfortable starting every week. And Blake Jarwin, it would be cool if he was a thing. Don't get me wrong. Like, I don't want anyone to fail, so I want him to come back and be healthy and be a thing again, but that's a lot, especially since Dalton Schultz did do okay. And sometimes for tight ends, who the hell knows? Like, running backs being okay is never good enough. Any other position, sometimes it weirdly is. So I was willing just to throw that away. And I wish I could remember what I originally put in the trade before it was Sermon. It was somebody else. It may have honestly been Thielen just because he's old. Someone came back is like, what if we just put in Sermon? I'm like, am I going to let Sermon throw off this trade of me getting Zeke? And the answer clearly was no. I am trying to do things different because I forgot who I was talking to, but I think it was Jake Earl, where I was complaining that pretty much all my teams end up being the same, like, so I don't end up being able to trade. And so what I've been trying to do lately is take a couple of teams and do stupid things like trade for running backs or trade for tight ends and stuff like that, or, you know, trade capital for a young wide receiver. Like, normal me wouldn't trade Darren Waller in a first for AJ Brown, but he put out a funny tweet and I was all about it. Is, again, don't be me. Just live vicariously through me. Live through my screw ups and my idiocy, but don't actually do it yourself. It's not good for your fantasy teams. Are there any strong feelings about, like, Chris Godwin being the guy? That's going to really be my next question. Like, towards the end of the season, Mike Evans was doing really freaking well. Like, I remember being so afraid of Evans in the beginning because he was Jordan Howard of the wide receivers, where he would get one catch for 2 yards and a touchdown, and that was literally it for the game, but you were okay because he scored a touchdown. But towards the end of the season, Mike Evans became the guy again, and while Chris Godwin was okay, Chris Godwin is never going to be your wide receiver one, or he's probably never going to be a wide receiver one. Like, he averaged like 13, 14 points a game. So to me, adding those two things on the side of Chris Godwin for Zeke, who we've seen be top three last year while his offense was still good, to me, made sense. To me, it was an easy trade, even for a guy that doesn't trade for running backs.
Yeah, now I got to go dump my Zeke shares because we know what happens when you trade for running backs.
Yeah, my bad, guys. Seriously, yes. That did not go well for me last year.
I was so hopeful.
Yeah, no, because I traded for Zeke, I traded for Saquon last year, and that didn't really... But again, RB10 is not terrible, but that's not what you paid for.
So what Justin is really telling people is to go pick up Tony Pollard everywhere you can.
Best now.
Yeah, good. You're welcome, all you Tony Pollard owners.
Yeah, because he's about to blow up like Bitcoin. Come on now.
Topical humor. So I guess we're going to move on because no one really has a hard stance on Chris Godwin that I was hoping for. But apparently neither did the guy who said he was so high on Chris Godwin, because the next trade that happened like 20 minutes later, actually it was like a few days later, Marquise Brown, Chris Godwin, and Kylan Hill for Devonta Smith, Will Fuller, and Raheem Mostert. Now, I kind of want to talk through this. Marquise Brown and Raheem Mostert probably cross each other off. Does anyone value Will Fuller at even a second anymore? Like, is he worth much of anything? To the fact that Marquise Brown and Kylan Hill for Will Fuller and Raheem Mostert probably wouldn't get sneezed at. So we're talking Chris Godwin for Devonta Smith. And that doesn't seem super high to me. Like, that's Chris Godwin for the 109, 10-ish. Does anyone else read that differently than I do?
I kind of read it like Marquise Brown and Devonta Smith cross each other out.
Oh, that's damn. Wait, is that good for Marquise Brown or bad for Devonta Smith?
Bad for Devonta Smith. Yeah. I don't think Devonta Smith is going to be much of anything. And I mean, most 166-pound wide receivers don't do much.
So. Like Marquise Brown?
Shut your mouth, Justin.
Marquise Brown has like 10 pounds on the guy. I mean, golly.
Justin little doesn't like
Marquise
little.
Brown makes Devonta Smith look like a 13-year-old. So, I don't know, man. I don't know.
You want to go, Rocky? You want to fight him?
Yeah, I have way more faith in Devonta Smith than Justin does. Marquise Brown did not have the college production that Devonta Smith did. I know he's not big.
No one had the college production that Devonta Smith did. But
and you're just disregarding that, like
because college.
It's not like everyone in college is 160 pounds either, you know.
Yeah, but you can get a lot more space in college than you do the NFL. So you don't have to fight through bodies. You don't have to fight through that 210-pound free safety that's coming across.
And I'm not saying he's going to be an alpha wide receiver one, you know, Julio type, but I think he's going to be better than Marquise Brown. So I don't think they cancel each other out. And I do think he's probably going to be the leading receiver on the Eagles this year, which I don't think is going to be the case for Marquise Brown. I also like Will Fuller, I think, a little bit more than Marquise Brown as well. I would value him in a second. He's going to outscore the 201, right, guys?
That's what we think.
Nice callback, Rocky. Nice callback.
Which is now Rashad Bateman. So that'll be fun
in the actual bet. Yes, which Wait. Me and Jerry actually ended up picking the 201.
Dynasty Rewind's coming in with some fire. Devonta Smith will be fine. He has the talent and the opportunity. Once he gets a quarterback, he will be even better.
Yeah, Justin, what's up?
I think that was really a shot at Jalen Hurts, not a shot at me. Come on now.
I know, but that's really why I brought that up. That's
wrong, though.
Might be. I'm just saying.
I mean, what's better for a dude that's fast than a dude with a really strong arm? So I'm absolutely fine with the pairing of Smith and.
That's the problem. That Smith isn't that fast. He doesn't have the wheels that most small.
Yeah, he's not. He's not a speedster.
He's not a 4.3x guy. He's like high 4.5, high 4.4, low 4.5s on a good.
Was it that? I thought he was faster.
Yeah.
Am I thinking of Waddle? I probably have the wrong.
Yeah, Waddle is the speedster. Waddle's the speedster from that team.
Waddle. My bad. Don't listen to me.
I mean, you're looking at an average NFL talent at his size is not ideal, in my opinion.
All right, anything else before we move on to the last trade on our sheet? Nope. All right. Here we go. We got a barn burner here, guys. We got Kirk Cousins for Ryan Fitzpatrick and a 22 first.
Okay.
Go! Okay, so Rocket,
who made this trade?
Yes. We spend how long calling Kirk Cousins your guy, calling Kirk Cousins the guy, and you trade him for Ryan Fitzpatrick and a 22 first. Does it feel like an early one?
It's yours.
So pretty early.
So TA9? No, that's like one of the only leagues I've ever been in.
I didn't even look to see how high the first was. The way I figured it was, I don't see him losing much production there. Fitz had a good year last year in Miami. I don't think his weapons are any worse in Washington. If not, I think they're probably better. I mean, last year he was dealing with Devontae Parker and Preston Williams.
Yeah, they're a lot better.
Yeah. So, I mean, the only worry there, I think, is A, if he starts going, you know, 6 picks a game, but I also have Heinicke on this team if that happens, so I at least have a body. This also actually happens to be a team where I have 3 other quarterbacks, so I can afford it if Fitz falls off or gets, you know, benched or whatever. And I get the 22 first, and I think that's pretty good value. Fitz in 22 first is, I think, about what Cousins is worth. As we talked earlier, he's QB 22 in ADP. And I don't have a first next year in that league. So I liked getting the pick. I don't think it hurts me production wise. I do think I'm a contender on that team, but I don't think it's going to hurt me too much because they were pretty close in scoring last year. And I don't see it being a major difference this year with Fitz's move to Washington. And I don't think he is going to get benched. I mean, people say he's never played 16 games. He would have played 16 games last year. I mean, well, we don't know, but he was not benched because of production last year. He did not play because of production. So I was fine with it. I get the 22 first, and I basically figure it's a wash as far as points.
Yeah, I saw this and I'm like, oh, okay. You know, again, I laughed because of the Kirk Cousins thing, and that's really all it was, and that's why I really, you know, decided to even talk about it on the show, is just because we went so hard on Kirk Cousins and you that you traded him away, and that's just hilarious. But no, you're absolutely right. Like, Ryan Fitzpatrick will be playing till he's 60, and we'll still be talking about how he went to Harvard 40 years ago, and he'll still be leading his team in rushing, and he'll still be putting up enough fantasy points for you to start him every single week. And that's pretty much not the rushing part, but that's what we talk about with Kirk Cousins, right? Like, he's going to hit you QB like 10 to 15 every single week. He's going to be absolutely usable. I think Fitzpatrick has a better shot at giving you boom games than Kirk Cousins does. So like you say, like, if you're, I understand the fear of Fitzpatrick never playing a full season, or just being afraid of like a 67-year-old quarterback. But clearly that is not something Rocky actually cares about.
Exactly. I never worry about that. And basically the 22 first, you're basically paying for the security of knowing Cousins is probably playing at least 2 or 3 more years, where Fitzpatrick is not. I don't care. So, I mean,
Kellen Mond's not stealing the job from him halfway through the year?
This really just feels like it's just Kirk Cousins for a first with some 2021 production. Like,
yeah,
because I think we all every year assume that Fitzpatrick is going to be gone out of the league, et cetera. But this does feel like the year that he's gone. And so you're trading for the 2022 first.
You're pretty much getting Kirk Cousins points for 1 year and then getting a first. Like, it's,
yes.
And honestly, like to what Rocky was saying, especially since he already has the security at the quarterback position, I mean, that's pretty good, right? Like that's what you want, right? That's the point of dynasty trades, right? Like to get the points, but still also get the future value.
Do you feel the same way? Okay, so project yourself out 1 year from now or 11 months from now when it's rookie draft time. Do you feel the same way when Fitzpatrick is retired and you have that first versus Kirk Cousins? That's, I guess, how I feel about it. I think I like Kirk Cousins in the deal because I think you're going to be trying to get a player that's of Kirk Cousins' value already, you know, his ish value at that point.
But I think Rocky sold Cousins for what he's worth. I mean, it's a first and a little sweetener in Ryan Fitzpatrick, if that's what you want to call him. And, you know, Rocky said he has three other quarterbacks on this team. So that first
Say there are three Rocky-type quarterbacks.
Who are these three quarterbacks?
Yeah, let's
There's three quarterbacks.
Chase Daniel,
Brady, Roethlisberger, and Winston.
So you're
okay. So you're gonna need a quarterback in the draft.
You're
never mind. Okay.
Soon.
Oh yeah. Next year I may have zero quarterbacks.
Right. You'll have one.
Then he'll find whoever his.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Brady will be quarterbacking in 2030.
Brady will be quarterbacking
in 2029. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he's there for what, another 2 years? Didn't he just sign that extension during the offseason? So right. He'll play it out. Yeah, the other two guys might be toast, but. So it changes it a little bit.
Aren't they already toast?
I was going to say, with Roethlisberger on your team, you already have only half a quarterback there. Because that dude can't throw more than the length of this table in front of me.
That dude couldn't throw more than the length of the table last year, and he was QB12.
That's fair. It got really ugly at the end of the year. It got really ugly.
Yeah, but that also just means it's good for his Diontae Johnson shares. So I'm sure he's okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the stack.
I actually don't have that. Was the league I think where Rush tried to trade me Diontae in the AJ Brown trade. So,
oh well, don't worry. I'll give you Diontae before the season's over. Don't worry.
Before the non-point scoring season is over.
I don't know about that. I might have to string it into week one or two, and then okay. You know, start dangling.
We'll figure out a way.
Yeah, always. Well, that's the end of our show sheet. So we're going to call it the end of our show, unless anyone has anything else they magically want to talk about for the next hour and a half, so we don't have to sign off.
I got to go back now. Tomorrow's heading home from vacation. So
yeah, there's them crickets again. So before we sign off, we do have our guests. So let's give them their moment in the sun. Start with Justin. Why don't you say again who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do?
I mean, I don't do much. I'm on the Twitter sphere at RunDFF, spouting nonsense. And you can catch me and Larry Monkey on the Hot Sauce Podcast.
Timeline. You know what, Bill? You go because Josh did it last time.
Damn it! I always like to pawn this off on Josh.
I know, and that's why I knew. I saw your little grid. Like, yeah, he's gonna do it. And then when I called you out, Josh was like, "Yeah, he's gonna do it."
Yeah. So I am Bill at Super Dupa Flex. Josh is my co-host at Real Fantasy TL or Fantasy Timeline. Wednesday, 9 p.m. on YouTube, DAP Network. And yeah, that's that. Love you guys. Always a pleasure. And appreciate it.
It was funny. I told the guys before that I don't remember if it was yesterday or this morning. I was like, man, who's our guest today? And then I go to my calendar where I have what we're doing. I'm like, it's the DAP show. Like, I legitimately got excited that I was going to talk to these guys again because, like, I mean, we have our chat, but like, I like seeing your faces and being able to talk to you. And it's been way too long. So we're going to do this more often.
Bill and Josh have to be getting sick of me. I think I did their show 2 weeks ago. They did my show last week, Junkies, and now they're on here. So we've been
and now he's
a lot
putting
recently.
Us to work again for Junkies. But geez.
But the truth is, Rocky becomes really easy to ignore after a while anyway. So it's like he's not even there.
Thanks, Russ.
Love you. Okay, but on that mushy note, we're going to... I am your host, Dynasty Outhouse. That is my co-host, Rocky, at Dynasty FF Addict. We're going to get him to change that handle sometime soon, so it's something easier for me to say.
Fantasy FF Addict?
at Rocky Petrella FF. And just join the FF crew, everybody. We are at Trade Addicts Pod, part of the DAP Network at DAP underscore network on the Twitters. If you're watching this right now, or you're, well, I guess technically I could say right now, and whenever you are watching this, you're watching it right now. So if you're watching this right now, just hit that subscribe button and you can see the junkies. You can see the timeline whenever the hell they stream. Or if you're having so much fun watching this that you just need it every week, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. Small little support to the podcast. You get to watch this every single week, talk along in the chat like we had a bunch of people. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Ryan. Also, you get the Cool Kids Club, which is our awesome GroupMe chat where there is damn near close to 100 people at this point just, you know, chatting about, not even always about fantasy football. Like I said in the beginning, I get bored and post pictures of my dog because she's adorable. And that is that. We also have our merch shop where you can get such beautiful shirts like this DAP Network shirt, ffpodshirts.storenv.com, where, and you know what? Hey, man, you can get timeline stuff. You can get junkie stuff. You can get trade addict stuff. You can get Dynasty timeline stuff. You can get Superflex Super Show stuff, FF Intervention. Man, anyone who just didn't feel like making their own crap, they asked me to, and I just did it. But the cool part is every single penny that comes in goes to charity, and we are doing the Brain Aneurysm Association
Foundation.
Damn, almost had it. through the end of June. We did it for May, the end of June. We're already at like 30 something bucks where we only donated like 40 last 2 months. So keep it coming, man. Let's get some more money for the Brain Aneurysm Foundation and get you in some awesome stuff, shirts, mugs, stickers, all the stickers, guys. Stickers are awesome. You could put them anywhere. That's my salesmanship. Good night, everybody. I'm out of things to say. Good night, fellas. Thanks for jumping on.
Good night, Russ.
Yeah, look at that right there, big timeline sticker. Oh, look at that big traffic sticker. Look at that, a little junkie sticker.
What the hell?